You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th, 2018. We'll look at the road trip in review, talk about the injury to Thabo Sefolosha and the impact, look back a little bit of what we thought we were going to find out when the season started, preview the Pacers, and do a little NBA 5. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. Thanks for tuning in to today's program. It is Locked On Jazz, brought to you in part today by the Advocates, as well as InterCap Lending. So glad to have you with us. And so glad to have you tuned in to our daily podcast that brings you a little extra insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains on your Utah Jazz. That's the plan, at least. Let's get right to it today. Thank you very much. The road trip behind us, 1-3 on a road trip. Great win in Washington. Ran out of guys, ran out of gas, really, in Charlotte. And, you know, if we're honest about it, the young kid who's just been so brilliant was poor for a night. Late in the game, he had been Donovan had been just incredible all night long. I thought he was going to go for 45 with 45 watching. He was just brilliant. And late in the game, he probably got tired. He's playing 37 minutes. Probably got some situations he hasn't been in before. He's a rookie. He turned it over, I think, three times. He missed two shots, and really, he just struggled. Now, on the other end, there's not a lot of help right now. I mean, it's incredible what he is doing. He is playing well as the primary offensive source on a team that's not playing well. The Jazz offense is 29th and 30th in the league over the last 10 and 15 games, and here's this kid who getting, you know, virtually no help from anyone is somehow surviving. I mean, to me, that's truly, truly the incredible part of this. That here, the last 15 games, the offense ranks 30th. The last 10 games ranks 29th. AB is shooting 33% and 20% from three. Hood shooting 38% and 37% for three. Ingles is shooting 40% and 34% for three. Jonas is at 44% and 33% from three. Joe Johnson's at 42 and 34. And Ricky Rubio's at 41 and 31. And yet somehow this kid is staying above that and has efficient outings where he scores 35 points on 20 shots. And is playing huge minutes. I mean, huge minutes. So, he had a bad close. I'm stunned by everything else he's doing. But we've talked about it a lot. It's you turn your team over to a rookie, which we certainly should. This kid is that special, and it's hard. You look at that 15 game run. These don't match quite exactly, but since December, this is an 18 game. Stretch, but it's most of those games where the offense is struggling, where everyone around him is struggling. Donovan's scoring 23 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, shooting 48% from the field, 35 from 3, 88 from the free throw line. 14th in the NBA in scoring since December 1st. He's just terrific. Specifically to the Charlotte game, it just felt like we ran out of guys, we ran out of gas. And the offense by the end of the night was the issue. The offensive rating was a 94, and that's kind of the story right now. The offense in 5 of the last 8 has been under 100, which is interesting because this, you know, we're missing Dante and now Thabo, but I mean, some of these things, this was kind of the question on this team is where would the offense be when the year started? And we assumed it wouldn't be very good, and so these are probably some of the stretches it would go through, but we're experiencing a little bit of that. The win in Washington was just tremendous, and so you hoped you could follow it up, and it felt like you were going to in Charlotte before kind of the ground fell out from under. But unfortunately, it just doesn't feel right now as though this team's got the capability right now to make that jump. That one great win has not led into the next performances yet. Really cool is the emergence of Royce O'Neal. Great find by the front office. Great job by Quinn working him in. 11 points, 10 rebounds, and an assist the other night. We'll see as he plays more and more. And what he does, but he has earned a he certainly earned a rotation spot. Alec has been scuffling a little bit. Alec's plus minus has still been good, which shows you the development of Alec's game and how much of a better player he's become. But he had been scuffling a little bit recently, and Royce O'Neal just fits nicely and has played well. Tabo Sefolosha is out. It has not been officially announced as how long. There were some reports that he could be having season-ending surgery. I walked off the plane with him. He was not in great shape. This is a blow. Two reasons. One, Tabo had taken a concerted effort on the floor to huddle guys together, be the leader. He and I talked about this. I think we were probably in Charlotte. That he had really just recognize that that's where this team needed stuff, that they needed that leadership. He was trying to do as best he could to give it to them. And I think we had played better. We played well in Charlotte, just ran out of gas. We played great in Washington. You've seen the team play better. I think he was a large part of why the team was playing better, is that leadership, having him on the floor. He is our best plus-minus player. So the statistics back it up. When he's on the floor, we're plus five. When he's off the floor, we're minus five per 100 possessions. In our big man lineups, it didn't get much of it. We only got 97 minutes of it this year, but he and Gobert were plus seven, which is great. He and Favors are a plus six. He and Udo are a plus 16. This was the plus-minus guy, and he's our best plus-minus player, but if you kind of look back to even taking another step, he becomes even better if you take it back to when he moved from being a small forward. When he was playing small forward with Joe Johnson as the power forward, then some of his numbers were pretty ugly, and you began to wonder whether age was catching up to him at 33 and some things like that. They moved him to the power forward, and all of a sudden, he looked dramatically different. If you take it back to November, like if we take the numbers to November 10th, which is when Rudy gets hurt against Miami, so we'll take it to November 11th, he pretty much plays the power forward position from that time on, and with Tabo on the floor in the power, as the power forward, his numbers are even better, as I just kind of showed. So losing Tabo is a big blow, and just kind of continually adds to this. And these are contact injuries. I don't know if we're cursed. I don't know what we're playing less possessions. We play slower, I don't know. But it sure just feels like one hit after another that you're seeing for the Jazz on the injury front, and it just makes it incredibly difficult to be able to judge where we are and what's going on. There is a company that has moved to Utah. Which is nice. That's how I got to know them. It does not mean that they're exclusive to Utah, but they're called InterCap Lending. They're one of the largest independent lending companies out there. They're hyper-responsive. They've embraced the change of the industry, and they have tried to give you a direct experience that's a superior experience. So I'm doing my refinance right now with InterCap. They're a 40-year mortgage company. They've been around, or lending company. They've been around for a long, long time. Steve Carter's been helping me with my refi, and he can do the same for you. His number is 385-885-28. Talking to Steve, one of the great lines he used is, It's not quite as easy as ordering pizza, but we're going to try to see if we can make it that close. Pizza's become so easy. Use the technology, just plug in what your order is, and then it either they deliver it to you or you go get it. But it's become – that's really what they're trying to do. Across 44 states now, so not just in Utah, they are able to do so many things for you. The market's insane right now. So one thing you can do is download the app, and you can get pre-qualified based on the information through the app. You give it to your realtor. You're ahead of the step. You don't lose out on that house while everyone else they've already done that and you haven't. So that's the first thing. They close the loan. They close the line on time. They communicate through the app. The app's cool. It tells you where you are in the process every step of the way. We're closing today. The Intercap Lending. Go check it out. Download the app. Find out what the experience is or feel free to call Steve Carter at 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending. Taking the modern world and advancing it to make it easier for you and giving you a better borrower experience. NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Remember when the season started that our discussion point was when I was doing all the national shows, the two questions I had were what I don't know about the Jazz and I don't know about the NBA is what is the value of defense and what is the value of depth? Those were the two questions that I thought we had about this team this year. The defense and the depth. And so the question was kind of like, well, if you're a really bad offense team, but you're great. You know, the idea was if Denver's going to be 27th defensively and third offensively, and we're going to be third defensively and 27th offensively, how's it work? Offensively overall, we're 20th, which is actually much better than I ever thought we would be. Now, in the recent stretch, that's fallen off, right? In the last 15 games, we've slipped to 30th. We got a bunch of guys that are scuffling. And it may simply be that we're asking a lot out of guys and that, you know, even though we have depth, that they're all kind of taking these different roles and that they're wearing down a little bit. You know, we were one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league and have not been recently. And you wonder if that's just a case of guys getting fatigued a little bit. That, you know, Joe Ingles is the first name that comes to mind. He's playing 30 minutes a night, busting his butt, doing the best he can. Suddenly he's not hitting his threes. Rodney's been taking this burden of being the lead dog. Maybe that's wearing him out because we're suddenly 30th in the league in three-point shooting and 28th in the league in three-point shooting over the last 15 games. But prior to that run, we were top like 6 or 7 or 8 in three-point shooting. In the first 10 games of the year, we were 13th. Next 10, we were 7th. Next 10 after that, we were 2nd. Then all of a sudden, it's just fallen off the map with our three-point shooting. And that hurts us because that's where predominant three-point, you know, everyone is. So there's no one who can shoot. But what's interesting to me is I'm not sure. It's almost as though the injuries have actually overwhelmed our depth. We're going to play tonight without Rudy, Dante, Tabo. Am I forgetting? Howell is questionable. We can't suddenly make everybody a rotation player, but we've just gotten to this suddenly to a point where even some of the depth issues that we had hoped to see and see what the value of them were, they're being taxed beyond their limit. The second one that jumps out to me is we wanted to see what happens if we're great defensively, but we haven't been able to be great defensively, right? Because we're 10th in the league defensively or so, and we're not great. Like, we had to be elite defensively, but with Rudy out for as long as we've been, which is, you know, he's missed, what, all but 5 games in the last 28? You're not finding out whether you're elite defensively. It's weird. It's, you know, it's strange. And we've got weird, weird things. Like, at home, we're the number one defensive team in the league, so you've seen some of that, and then on the road, we're 24th, so we come out as 13th. Like, some of that's weird. The month of December, where Rudy was gone most of the time, we went to 23rd. We're playing pretty well defensively again with Udo getting a bunch of time. We're the 10th best defensive team. the opening seven games of the year, we were the fourth best defensive team. We were 26th offensively. That's what I think a lot of us thought we were going to be. So kind of you look back at where we were at the beginning of the season, I don't feel like we ever got the answer of what happens if these two things take place. And it makes it a little hard, though. I think I think this is kind of the in phrase right now. In a pivot year, I do think we've learned an awful lot. You know, we're learning a tremendous amount about who's capable of what and what burdens are too much and what's the right role for player. I mean, it's been pretty eye opening and it's great. I mean, that's what this season's about. And then the kid's incredible. You know, the rookie's just great. And that kind of changes how everything feels. Pacers today, they're an interesting team. They're 23-20. You know, without Paul George, the idea was that they were supposed to go by the wayside. Nate McMillan's done a fabulous job with them this year. Victor Oladipo's been as good, if not better, than Paul George all of last year. And, you know, indeed, they're seventh now. Their record is the exact same as Oklahoma City's. I'm not sure that's a fair comparison, but it's interesting. They're 23-20. They're seventh in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia is ninth at 19-20, so four games up in the win column. They're playing well. They blew out Phoenix last night in a game that just looked like a varsity versus junior varsity. For the season, they're the seventh best offense and the 21st ranked defense, ninth best overall. They do not rebound well. They're not a good defensive rebounding team, but we don't offensive rebound anymore. So I don't know that that's, you know, we're not that powerhouse offensive rebounding team that we were in the past. So I don't know. Maybe Udo can do that. Over the last 10 games, they're the 13th best offensive team, 21st ranked defensive team. Victor Oladipo has obviously been the story all season long, but Darren Collison's been pretty darn good for them. They're consistent throughout the game. This I thought was interesting. Their offensive rankings by period, 10th, 9th, 10th, 10th. That's unusual. Teams usually, their first half offense is the 8th best. Their second half offense is the 8th best. So they are remarkably consistent throughout the game. We're going to be, our lineups will be Jerebko and Joe Johnson now at the 4. And then your 3 is Joe Ingles with Royce O'Neal. Your 2 is Donovan and Rodney with Donovan rolling over to the 1. Unless Neto comes back and you try to play him a little bit more. Al Jefferson will be in the house. He's playing about 13 minutes off the bench. But Oladipo is the story at 24 points again. Then great balance. Bogdanović with 14, Collison 13, Sabonis 12. Miles Turner won't play, I don't think, at 14. Thaddeus Young at 12. None of them are names that kind of wow you. None of them are names that overwhelm you. They're just kind of solid. They got a rookie TJ Leaf who's playing 10 minutes a night and shooting it great. Lance Stevenson's actually giving them a bunch of physicality. Their only problem is really when Oladipo goes off the bench, they fall apart. They really fall apart, interestingly, defensively, though. That's the primary thing that they have. They're not, Collison goes off, they're not as smooth. But when Victor goes off, that's when they fall off. They have a 12-point differential between when he's on the floor and he is off the floor. So that's, you know, but that's also one that's been interesting to me on the depth issue is I haven't feel like we've taken advantage of those moments very well. The thought I had was that we'd be more even kind of talent throughout the whole game without the star power. And then when somebody's had that moment where Oladipo leaves, we'd kind of make our hay with our depth there. And I'm not sure that that's happened as much as we would have maybe thought. The Advocates are Utah-based injury attorneys who over 25 years have built a system to make sure that you get good results, that nothing bad happens to you, that you're communicated with throughout the process, and that they can expedite the process efficiently as possible. How do they do this? Matt and the guys at the Advocates and the women at the Advocates, the attorneys at the Advocates have built a 106-step process. Because accidents are different, but the process is the same. And they have built a process that is now efficiency. And that efficiency means productivity, means communication with you, and means expediting the process. You call the Advocates at 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. A lawyer will call you within 60 seconds. That attorney is now on your case. They get your case into the system, and the checklist starts. And at each step along the way on the checklist, there are experts inside the Advocates that deal with those items. So your attorney is working on the items that are most important to your attorney. Well, there's individuals along the way who are each doing their jobs as well. Whether it's dealing with the insurance companies, the hospitals, the auto deal, whatever it is, there's experts inside. There's special teams units that take care of it and then walk through the 106-step process to make sure that you get the best results. Only about 1% go to trial, 3% go to arbitration. So you need someone who understands the process and knows how to take you through it. 801-355-5550. That's the Advocates at 801-355-5550. Let's look at the NBA 5. Miami still hasn't lost. Is that incredible? So the Miami Heat have won 7 in a row. They are 8-2 in their last 10. They are only a game behind Cleveland. They are fourth in the Eastern Conference. It was really interesting to go play Washington and Miami. Washington star power, right? They got 3 max contracts in Wall, Beal, and Porter. They have all the star power, and they're losing games to below 500 teams right and left. Miami, on the other hand, is doing none of that. Miami's just winning every close game and beating below 500 teams the whole time. Miami's 10-15 against above 500 teams. And 10-2 against below 500 teams. Washington is 11-7 against above 500 teams. And they've lost 11 games to below 500 teams. I don't know what it means for the future, but it's an interesting contrast between where these teams are. Miami is 5-2 in close games. Washington's 2-6 in close games. Pretty interesting difference there. New York's fallen on tough times as they've gone on the road, as many people thought. They're just 4-15 on the road. 2-8 in the last 10. Charlotte is pretty far back, but you wonder if they might make a little bit of a run. And Orlando's lost 7 in a row. Top of the East, Boston has won 7 in a row again. They've played 44 games compared to everyone else who's like 41, 42. So they actually slow down now here because they went to London. Over in the West, Minnesota is incredible right now. Minnesota's won 5 in a row. They are torching people. There's a huge separation now. Minnesota is 5 games ahead of Oklahoma City. The Pelicans are kind of just hanging around. Portland's hanging around, though Portland's lost 3 in a row. Denver's lost in the easiest schedule of the year for Denver. A little disconcerting if you're a Nuggets fan right now. If you're a Nuggets fan right now, this was supposed to be probably the stretch of the year where you made the most hay. The softest schedule, because their schedule gets ugly coming up here. And they've probably done the opposite. They are dropping games, you know, hard to say, should have won these ones. But if we look at their schedule, they have this stretch of home games with a bunch of weird back-to-backs after they played us. They lost at Sacramento, lost at Golden State, lost at home to Atlanta, beat Memphis, lost to San Antonio. That's not... Now they have... This is the key stretch to their season here. They have home against Dallas, this is Denver, at the Clippers, home against Phoenix, home against Portland, home against New York, home against Dallas. That should be a pretty considerable win streak. If they trip up through here to the end of the month, their end of the schedule other than the fact that they, you never know, like, is Minnesota still playing and things like that. They go on the road a ton. They play a bunch of games that should be tough. It's much better, though, to have the hard end of your schedule late in the year than it is to have it early in the year because of the fact that you never know whether or not teams are going to still be playing late in the year. So that's a huge advantage to them. We mentioned this a little bit the other day. Anthony Davis is having probably the best year of his career. No, is having the best year of his career. Had another mammoth night yesterday. And I don't know what New Orleans does here going forward. I mean, I guess you could just go to Anthony Davis and ask him what he wants. Because the trade deadline is now inside a month away. DeMarcus is a free agent at the end of the year. I'm assuming they're just going to keep rolling with this combination and see if it can, but they also might lose it at the end of the year. The Clippers, by the way, have won 8 of 10, are 21 and 21, are legitimately a playoff team. Like, I loved this Clipper team at the beginning of the year. Remember, I had them kind of top four with Gallinari, and Gallinari hasn't been healthy. I probably overestimated what they are capable of doing. But they're interesting. The Jazz have played 30 games against above 500 teams. Their next closest is 27. Jazz have played 30 games against above 500 teams, and the next closest is 27. I think Minnesota's there. The Magic actually might be at 29. Part of it is if you're not above 500, then you know you play more teams that are above 500 because you're not. But it'll be interesting. The Clippers, by the way, are doing kind of what Miami's doing. Their wins recently are, they won the Phoenix, they won at Houston, which was a good win. Sacramento, Lakers, Hornets, Memphis, lost to the Thunder and Warriors, beat the Hawks, beat the Warriors, Lou Williams tonight, beat Sacramento twice in a row. So what they're doing exactly what we just talked about with the Heat. That's what matters, frankly. If you're trying to make the playoffs, just beat the below 500 teams. That will get you into the playoffs. Clippers against plus 500 teams are 7-15, and against below 500 teams are 14-6. We are 5-7. We've only played 12 games all year against below 500 teams. Orlando's played 29 also, by the way. So we've played 30. Orlando's played 29. A few teams have played 27. Games, Lakers have played 25 against teams above 500. Cleveland's played 21. Washington's played 18. We've played 30. San Antonio's played 20. Minnesota's played 22. Oklahoma City's played 25. Pelicans, 26. Portland, 28. Denver, 21. Clippers, 22. Us, 30. It's brutal. That is Locked On Jazz. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Respect Martin Luther King's birthday. Do something nice. Be nice. And if you take a moment to read some of his great work and what he stood for. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.